Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised by our Sunday service. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and just to let you know, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the regulations around physical distancing, we've made the decision to not only record the Big Three podcast, but film it as well, in order that as many people can access it as possible. So you might be listening to the podcast now, or you might be watching via gbconline.org.au. But either way, we are excited for you to join us today. And speaking of joining in today, I have with me as co-host my British counterpart, Mark Coleman. Mark, we had our second week of doing church online. What's your favourite part about doing church in this new format?
I love the opportunity to sing loud enough that your neighbours question what you're doing.
Yeah, I dig that. I'm interested to see the reflections from your neighbors. I've got to admit, I'm a huge fiend of that love heart. Like, I just like, I love church. But now I'm looking for it everywhere else in my life. If I see something that I like, I just want to love heart something. I don't know. It's too much time in isolation, I think. And bringing us the word this Sunday, our senior pastor, Mark Rader. Mark, you brought us back to the theme of You Are Here, which is our theme for the year, and hilarious almost in its irony that we now need to have a caveat, even though you're not. I'm wondering, in this time of separation, do you feel like the church is disconnected?
I guess from a purpose perspective, not really, but in reality, a little bit. Mm. You know, it's I think my favorite part, I think, has been the chat.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Kind of
just to see the people who are connected, you can kind of picture their face in your mind, and it's nice to know that they're okay. Because I think I underestimated the amount of just information you gather on a Sunday.
Yeah,
right. Just touching base or just seeing people, even if you don't touch base with them. So yeah. It does feel a little bit disconnected, but I think the church is doing fine.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I love the chat. It makes you just, I don't know, it feels like more people are making an effort to encourage one another that, hey, we actually are here together. Mm-hmm. It's such a good vibe reading through those comments. It's awesome. Well, this week, Mark spoke on the unbusy church, which in a nutshell challenged us to use our time better in this social distancing space. And you can listen to that message on our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for today, as always, we're going to unpack three big questions submitted through Slido during our Sunday services. So, gents, let's get into the big three. Well, Mark, you spoke about our experience of this social distancing creating a vacuum in our life where there's going to be more time and space in our daily routine. But the thing about vacuums is that they normally just pick up the small, inconsequential things around. And so for a society who is predominantly busy, I guess, before this whole coronavirus situation, there's a challenge there to not just fill up this new space with more small, inconsequential things and become busy all over again. So that leads us to our first question. What are some of the traps within this COVID-19 space that may see us feeling busy all over again?
Yeah, one of the things I reflected on is that right now it doesn't feel like there's any additional time and space.
No, it does not.
You know, it's just every day seems very, very full, very, very busy, very, very hectic, trying to work out all the things that need to be worked out in this kind of brave new world. So I think that there's a whole bunch of stuff that right now we just have to be, you know, kind of say, yes, we have more time coming, but right now, possibly doesn't feel that way. I think one of the traps that I experience in my own life is, you know, 2 weeks ago when we were in normal life, a lot of, you know, like say social media use or, you know, like games on your phone or that kind of thing, you kind of did between events, right? And so you kind of did them between, you know, you dropped the kids off at something, you had 15 minutes, and so you do something on your phone. Mm. And I guess 15 minutes is not quite enough time to, you know, build a new hobby or, you know, whatever it might be. And so it kind of felt like that was okay.
Yeah.
But I think in this space, I'm finding that I have larger blocks of time. And I think one of the traps is just to allow my default fill-in to fill in everything. And so that I just allow social media, like, you know, I'm not saying that social media use is bad. I'm not suggesting that watching Netflix is bad, you know, like in the sense that, you know, like you'd watch something on Netflix before COVID-19. But I think the danger is that now I've got a little bit more time. So yeah, I can watch a fifth episode of whatever I'm watching. And I think it's kind of, we probably need to put some limits on our screen time.
Yeah.
If we're going to be deliberate about developing spiritual practices and rhythms, and those might involve our screens, which is fine, but you know what I'm getting at. So I think that's one danger for us.
And if I can jump in there, I think one of the traps is that now so much of our life is on the screen. We're doing work from home and that's online. We're doing church online. We're connecting with family and friends who we can't see at the moment online. And so it's so easy to justify it because now this is the new reality. And how do I mediate that and make sure that there's a balance when actually everyone and everything is telling me, no, like just jump on a screen, jump on your phone, jump on your laptop and just do life there now, because that's the only place that you're allowed to.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think another thing for me right now is, you know, like I'm playing some games on my tablet. In part because at the end of the day, I don't have a lot of energy or capacity to do anything else. I'm just like, it's nice to have something you can kind of control.
Yeah.
You know, and there aren't new restrictions coming out every day from the government about it. So like, and I, at one level, I kind of go, that's okay in the short term. But it seems to me that in the long term, if I'm not careful, that's going to become my new normal.
Yeah.
I think with all of these sorts of things, being self-aware
is incredibly
important. That'll tell you where your traps are as opposed to mine.
Mark, what are your reflections on this?
Well, it's interesting you raised the thing, the idea of being kind of in control, something I can control. And I think for me, that's the thing in this time that is so prevalent, is that, you know, fear, which all of us are experiencing to some degree, it drives control, and control is so often our response to fear. And so we can try and control our environment, and we can become obsessive about cleaning, and we can become obsessive about making sure our pantry is stocked. And all of a sudden we are busying ourselves with those practices and we fill our lives with those things. And of course, like, it's good and it's right and appropriate to be prepared, and we've got to pay extra attention to cleaning things at the moment. Like, that's the nature and the reality of life right now. But at the same time, we have to recognize the danger of fear becoming our master, and how we have to continually and actively invite God into that space, because all of a sudden we're so busy, caught up in those kind of fear response practices, that we've not intentionally paused, taking the time to hang out with God.
And I love that, because you're tapping on the idea of, it's not necessarily the task itself, but it's the heart behind it. Mm. And we need to make sure that we're keeping God at the forefront of our motivations and our drive to whatever it is that we're doing in our new reality. Not letting fear take over. I really love that.
I think one of the other dangers for us is not knowing the first step as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about checking social media. It's a one-step process.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just going to look at Facebook, or I'm going to look at Instagram, whatever it is. Mm. Whereas some of the projects, you know, you start thinking about developing my prayer life, or exploring a particular aspect of theology or whatever it might be that we want to develop, we often lack the first step. Mm. And because we lack the first step, we don't know how to get there from here. We know the final outcome, but the gap is too big. And so if we can't identify what's my next step moving forward, I think that will stop us from implementing any changes because we're not sure what to do first.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a pretty important thing.
Yeah. We need to create margin to do that.
Yeah.
To just take that, what are we calling it? audit of our lives and an audit of those projects that we want to take on, not projects around the house, but projects within us. Well, moving on, Mark, you got all scientific on us on Sunday. I was quite impressed, actually, I've got to admit. Speaking about the caterpillar of all things and how it's got these imaginal discs in them, which hold the full DNA of the butterfly, even within the caterpillar stage and the cocoon stage. They are unchanging parts of the caterpillar, even when it's going through its metamorphosis. And you likened this to the Holy Spirit in each of us. You know, we each possess the DNA of God through the Spirit, and it's unchanging in us and kind of waiting for that transformation to take place within our own lives. So that leads us to our second question. How do we know that we are relying on the imaginal discs of the Holy Spirit in our own lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did preface that comment by saying I'm not sure how theological the idea is, but it did strike me as, I think, having some resonance with what we're told happens when we place our faith in Jesus, that there's this new birth, this new life that begins. And there, that seemed to make sense for me. I should probably also say that, you know, I went all scientific, but like I said everything I knew about those things. Yeah. So I was glad that people aren't going to ask me, can you talk more about imaginal discs?
You shared everything that Wikipedia told you. Yeah, we know.
Not even that. I think it was the summary statements of Wikipedia. So yeah, no, it was, I learned quite a bit really actually in science. I mean, I think that, you know, I've been thinking a bit more about what it means for us to, or what are the imaginal discs that the Holy Spirit embeds in us. You know? And I suppose, you know, again, thinking theologically about it, you'd have to begin by saying that even prior to the work of the Holy Spirit, all humanity are created in the image of God. And therefore, it is that image which God is seeking to renew. So it's not as if we are without any redemptive, or without anything that can be redeemed until we place our faith in Jesus, if that makes sense. So I think that's important, first of all. And I think then, again, I would imagine that where we would need to be focusing would be, what is the work of the Holy Spirit, particularly in the New Testament, and particularly in the life of Jesus? Because I think those are the areas where then we can look for the work of the Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
So when you consider how the Spirit was at work in Jesus's life, although we're not given a lot of explicit kind of editorial commentary by the gospel writers, it would seem clear that the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding Jesus in terms of what he did and when he did it. And so I think that that ongoing sense of mission and what is that God's calling us to would be one thing. I think the Holy Spirit was evident in Jesus's prayer life, you know, when he turned to the Father. I think that the Spirit then, when Jesus talks about what the Spirit will do, you know, bring in unity. So I think, you know, we talked a bit about our services and, you know, the love hearts and the chat and just the sense of knowing that I'm singing right now with 150 or more people all over the place. There's a unity that goes beyond our technology, but taps into the work of the Spirit. So I think it's in those places that, that I'd be looking. You know, like, what does the Bible tell us about the work of the Holy Spirit in completing the things that Jesus has begun? And then how is that at work in my life?
Yeah, Coleman, if I can kind of throw you under the bus a little bit.
Go for it.
Obviously, we want to have our eyes open to the Holy Spirit at work. But I guess I've noticed on Slido this reoccurring question of, but how do I trust that? How do I make sure that it's not just me? What are your reflections on that kind of, I guess, doubt that can creep into our mind when we're trying to, but not sure if we are tapping into the Holy Spirit?
I think, I mean, I've noticed that question come up a number of times as well. And I think it's very easy, particularly within our culture and context, to believe that kind of knowledge about something trumps all else. And we, you know, to a certain extent, our society is sort of set up that way. We kind of elevate academia as kind of the source and the final knowledge on things. And I think, you know, I'm not anti-intellectual by any means, but But it's important to recognize that even what we think we know is open to distortion. Like, you know, what you think you know about something might actually be wrong. And and actually, you know, we've talked about being whole life learners in our values series. I think that posture of humility is actually important when it comes to listening to the Holy Spirit. But I do think there are some kind of some general guidelines that are really helpful when you are spending time trying to kind of respond to a particular situation and listening to the Holy Spirit in that context. And, you know, Mark spoke about, you know, community. I think that's an essential part of it. Yeah. So if you've got that sense of, you know, I feel like God might be leading me into this space, you weigh and test that in community. We don't do that in isolation. We do that with other people, and that helps us to kind of explore it in that way. I think another important thing, and it exactly, you know, as Mark was talking about in terms of reflecting on the life of Jesus, that's a really important part of reflecting on, you know, I've sensed that the Holy Spirit is leading me into something. Then ask yourself the question, is that reflected in Scripture? You know, does that contradict what I have read in the Bible? And if you have that sense of, I feel a sense of disease about that, then, you know, you're going to need to engage in some further prayer on what you sense the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. And I think, you know, another thing, and I've talked about this in the values series when we were talking about being others focused, is pausing. And actually that can apply to us too, is that, you know, sometimes if there's an uncertainty, the best thing you can do is just wait and go, like, if you've got a sense that the Holy Spirit is inviting you to respond in a particular way, particularly when it comes to praying for another person or the kind of practical interactions with another human being, but you're unsure of, you know, exactly what you might be being invited into, then waiting is just a great practice because you then have space, you then create space to listen further to the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe reflect on it in community by chatting with someone else, or kind of going back to Scripture and going, hang on, is this supported? And sometimes it's going to be, like, I felt nervous about it, but actually that's here in Scripture, and that's a great thing for me to step into, and you humbly step into that. So I think it's really easy to be afraid of listening and responding to the Holy Spirit. But when we do, when we press into that space, it's so rich and so exciting, and like, and I believe that that's the kind of relational life that God is inviting us into, and you know, I can only recommend it.
Yeah, so. I think that I'd add a couple of elements to that, because I think the fear component is an important one.
Yeah,
and I think that there's a couple things I reckon are valuable to keep in mind. One is how important, or what are the consequences of this decision. Right. Yep. So, you know, if you feel in the moment that God is calling you to do something really big that would involve an enormous amount of change for you and your family or whatever it might be, pause.
Yeah.
Get advice. Like, take your time on those sorts of things. I think that's pretty important. But if you have a kind of, if you have a sense of something kind of not particularly significant, you know, in terms of the consequences, you know, should I help my neighbor or not? Is this the Spirit, or is it just me feeling like I should do that?
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that I'm pretty sure God's going to go, I can work with that. Yeah. Right? You know, like, I'm not sure that God's in heaven going, oh, I didn't want you to help your neighbor now. Like, it was meant to be tomorrow afternoon. Now you ruined everything. Like, I think that there's some flexibility in that.
Yeah.
And I think that the third thing, particularly, you know, if there's that sense of, you know, when you're praying for someone, or praying with someone, or you feel that perhaps the Holy Spirit is leading you to speak to someone, a word from the Lord, I think it's so critical that we're really careful with the authority of that kind of a statement. Because if I say, God told me, boy, that trumps everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do you come back from that? And so I think that there's great value in saying, you know, Matt, I'm praying for you, and just, I want you to take this, and I want you to think about it. But I really felt that God might have been saying this.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just framing it up as, like, I'm not this infallible channel of truth.
Yeah.
I don't have this, you know, total Christ-like connection with God, where I know with the certainty of Christ himself, that this is what God is saying. And I think naming that, just naming it. Matt, this might be rubbish. Like, this might be something I ate, or something that's just popped into my head for no particular reason. Do with it what you will.
Yeah.
But here.
I love that. Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. And I think the language that's kind of come up for me around, the prophetic and sharing words of knowledge has been about offering. We offer those things.
Yeah.
And if there's weight in it, we are trusting the Holy Spirit to use our willingness to speak what we believe God has placed on our heart. Mm. And the Holy Spirit brings the conviction. He's the one who does the work in the person, and helps them receive that in the right way. And we offer it and we entrust it over to the work of the Holy Spirit within that person's life.
Oh, I love that because it keeps the authority where the authority is meant to be, which is with God himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't come from us. I'm going to offer this to you. And you can, God will speak that truth into your life and validate that. That's not for me to do. No, I love that.
No. I've witnessed some, I think, some where it's almost been what you might call today an abuse of power in that sense, right? Like if you go forward, not that anyone can go forward anymore for prayer, but if someone in a position of leadership is praying for you and they say that God says this, oh man, that's hard to, it's hard to even question without feeling like you're disobeying God. Yep. And that, I think that's a dangerous space. So I think that language is really
And I think there's that's where the fear of this question comes from, I think, because I don't think we want to do that.
No.
What we want is we want to see the work of God continue and we want to be a part of that, but not to its detriment. Right. You can see where that tension lies.
Yeah.
I guess we're all on a journey to figure that out for ourselves, which is exciting. All right. Well, we'll move on to our third and final question. Rader, the take home to your message was ultimately that in this new space and time that we have, that we should be focusing on the things that are important and not insignificant. Mm-hmm. And so obviously a huge part of that is growing in our faith. And one of the ways in which we can do that is by developing regular spiritual practices. But in this new experience of COVID-19 and physical distancing, some of the ways in which we participated with spiritual practices aren't available to us, or not how we used to do them. So that leads us to our third question. What are some of the ways in which we can adapt our spiritual practices so that we can continue to grow within this new context?
Mm. Yeah, particularly, I think there's a really important insight that spiritual growth was never meant to be a solo expedition, right? I'm going to be talking about this on Sunday. I think we need to find good traveling companions in our journey of faith, people who are heading in the same direction and all those sorts of things. So I think that's a really helpful insight.
Mm.
Although I think, if I can kind of deal with the question in two parts, I think the personal things that we want to develop, the things that we may feel that the Spirit is leading us into, and can I just say, for parents with young kids like yourself.
Yes.
Boy, is there a better chance to have the Holy Spirit develop in you a sense of patience or the virtue of self-control? What I'm saying? There may be
I know, but I didn't ask for it.
That's the work of the Spirit. I would offer that this is an opportunity. I think that there are some opportunities that this creates for us, and we should be looking for the opportunities right in front of our faces with our families, with our in our workplaces as that changes. Let's pay attention to what's happening in front of us. And when you feel like there's an area, say in a personal devotion that you want to develop, I think I mentioned before about the first steps. Carl used to, I don't know if this was his, I think he took someone else's formula of change and may have added something else to it. I don't know. I attribute it to him. but he talked about, change. To overcome the resistance to change, you needed to have a vision for the future. You needed to have dissatisfaction with the present. Mm-hmm. And then you needed to have the first step. Right. So you needed to, it's probably the other way around. You needed to have dissatisfaction with the moment. Right. Mm. So there's that sense for us now of saying, have a look at your relationship with God. And is there an area where you think, this is an area where I think maturity would be could be called for, or growth is possible, or whatever it might be. We need a vision for what that looks like. So what does it mean to become or to develop a deeper prayer life? What does that really look like? But if you don't have the first steps, you can't get there from here.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'd really encourage people to be thinking through those things about the first steps that we take. And then I think that, you know, from a community perspective, I think, you know, this is where we really need to lean into some of our relationships and be really on purpose about those as well. I mean, one of the things about relationships prior to COVID-19 restrictions was that we bumped into people all the time, right? And so we relied on a quantity of time to facilitate the quality of time, right?
Yeah.
I just spent heaps of time with my colleagues, and eventually we're going to have a conversation about something good, right? Or I spend buckets of time with my mates, and eventually we're going to hit a nerve. Now I think we can't really do that on Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. We need to be a little bit more deliberate. And so I think one of the really critical questions for each of us thinking about development in the spiritual discipline is about, so who of my friends has God placed in my life who can help me?
Yeah.
Or who can journey with me in this? And then contacting them and saying, hey, could we be deliberate about this? Like, could we actually every Wednesday catch up for 15 minutes on FaceTime and just kind of talk about how we're going with reading through this section of scripture or how we're working through developing a deeper prayer life or how we're going being patient with our kids, or, you know, how we're allowing the Holy Spirit into the extra time that we have with our spouses, or the how we're dealing with the anxiety wrapped around caring for, you know, elderly parents or grandparents who are, you know, all, like all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Like, but just being really deliberate to say, let's make this part of our relationship a spiritual relationship. Let's make this time all about, not about catching up, but about growth. And I think that deliberateness on purposeness will be quite helpful.
And I love that, because I think in our current setting, a lot of people are seeing doors closed, right? There's all these things that we can't do anymore. You know, public gatherings now restricted to two. Like, how is that anything that I'm going to receive from? I don't know. We just see a lot of doors closing. But what I'm actually seeing is an increase in that intentionality that you're talking about. I'm having phone calls and you know, who calls people anymore, right? Like, we text because we want an immediate response, and then we catch up for a coffee. Like, that's it. But now I'm calling with a reason. Like, yeah, how are you going? And we need to use that a lot more. Like, this is actually one of those silver linings from a horrific situation. But
And it may be very valuable for our relationships moving forward, which is, I think, probably the only other thing I'd say about this space is, you know, whatever you do, make sure that there's a sustainable future for it. You know, as a staff, we're talking a lot about, you know, the things that we're working on now being simple, sustainable, and scalable in the future. Like, when we come back to meeting together, are the things that we're starting going to work?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's also the case for these spiritual disciplines. Like, let's take the time, and we may have more time now than we will in 6, 7, 8 months, but let's make sure that what we do is kind of goes beyond COVID-19 restrictions, right?
Yeah.
That it'll actually work when we go back to work or actually go back to school or whatever it is.
Rita, how do you, your name's Coleman, sorry, too many marks in the room. How do you see this reflected in your life?
Well, I really like what Mark was talking about, you know, when he's referencing your life, and I can totally relate.
I love it when he's pointing at you.
We both think that this is an opportunity for you.
It's an opportunity for learning for both of us. But being also, you know, being the father of a small child, but... And you're aware, okay, here's the patience test moment. But I think one of the things that's really interesting about spiritual practices is we can talk about it, and we kind of go into a particular mindset, and we think, all right, that's what I do at 10:30 on a Tuesday or whatever it might be. And I think it's actually really helpful to think of spiritual practice as something we're actually working towards moment by moment, day by day.
Like,
it's not compartmentalized. And
I love that.
And actually that becomes something, I think, that's actually more attainable, and something that is going to impact our life more wholly if we're looking at each moment and going, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me in this moment. I'm aware. My patience is being tested right now. Mm. Like, how can I respond? And of course, we have to practice the responses in peacetime that equip us for wartime.
Mm.
But actually becoming aware in those moments, you know, daily, moment by moment, that allows us to respond, you know, from that kind of place of spiritual formation, I suppose. And it was interesting. Mark raised what Carl had shared with him, because Dallas Willard talks about a very similar thing in terms of, you know, making transformation to our spiritual lives comes from vision, intention, and means. And yeah, and you need a vision for what you want your life to be. And actually, we do have to take some time to think about that and reflect on the vision that we believe God is inviting us towards. Mm. And then our intention is kind of, we're making a decision about that. Actually, I want to step into a better future. I want to step into better relationships with my children.
Yeah.
I want to step into a better relationships with my spouse, more intentional relationships with my friends. I want to care for my neighbor better.
Mm.
And then the means is, okay, what do I need to do that?
Yeah.
And some of that is, okay, I need to schedule in those things. As Mark has said, I need to schedule in a time and build a relationship with a friend that keeps me accountable for reading my Bible.
Mm.
Or, I need to schedule in a time when I'm truly serving someone. So I'm calling someone who I know is experiencing this isolation in a really strong and profound way. And so we make those intentional steps about particular areas, and I think that they then begin to build in the sorts of responses we want to see in the moment-by-moment pressures of a particular situation.
Mm.
And so we actually start to live whole lives as followers of Jesus, you know, rather than this compartmentalization.
Mm. I love that. And I know I've said this a couple of times on our podcast, but I just feel like each and every week we're returning to our church values.
Mm.
You know, if we want to be the unbusy church, we need to be on purpose.
Yep.
About the time that we're being given. If we want to be the ungathered church, well, we don't want to be, but we are, you know, we have to be others focused and big hearted. And I just can't help but reflect that our values as a church has been God's way of preparing us for a season that is so far out of our scope.
Yeah.
You know, we're all kind of trying to find our heads a little bit, but I really feel like God's been preparing us for this for a while now, and that we need to really rely on those teachings moving into this season.
Mm.
Gents, thanks so much for your reflections. Loved having you in on the Big Three today. If you want to be a part of the conversation, join us for our online services this Sunday at gbconline.org.au. 8:30, 10:30, or 6 p.m. and snap the Slido QR code to get involved before the sermon. If you've enjoyed the Big Three today, be sure to give us a star rating and subscribe so that you can stay up to date on all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.